So just to say a few words about, just a little bit about the practice that we're doing here, the practice that we'll be practicing together. What we're really doing is establishing mindfulness. And let's say a lot of us in some of our familiar practices have perhaps learned to establish mindfulness in relationship to a particular experience or object, the breath, for example, or even in an open awareness practice through kind of being sure we always know there's an object. So we might be doing an open awareness practice and like, okay, yep, I'm seeing right now, I'm aware of contact with my feet, and I'm aware of the pressure of my hips on the chair. And so we almost rely on the knowing of a particular experience to help us with that establishment of mindfulness. And this practice, we will do some of that, and that is a way in to kind of connect to a particular object for experience. But really, the establishment of mindfulness that we're interested in here is the establishment of awareness and the kind of the recognition of, I'm aware. I know that I'm aware. Whether or not there's a clear object of experience, we can know that we are aware. And so this is the kind that essentially we are working to establish a continuity of awareness and then witnessing what is going on in that awareness. And sometimes we may not actually be able to identify what the actual experience is, what the object of that awareness is. And that's actually okay. So the practice, you know, there's some supports to help us with the practice, and relaxation is probably the ground. When I first started practicing with Utejan Nia, he kept emphasizing relaxation over and over and over again. And finally, I began to understand that when the body relaxes, it helps the mind to be able to relax. And when the mind relaxes, very naturally, when the mind is not caught up in its habits, its patterns of thought, of thinking about past or future, as the mind relaxes, what it naturally does is awareness. And so this is a real support for us, starting with relaxation. I'll emphasize relaxation a lot, over and over again, reminding you to relax. Relaxation creates conditions for a natural awareness to be present. This awareness is connected with, or let's say in the ballpark of, a ordinary quality of our human minds, which is this capacity we have to know that we know. This capacity we have to be aware, this self-reflective capacity of mind. This is just a human capacity. And so mindfulness is a little bit more than just that reflective capacity of mind, the mindfulness of what the Buddha taught, let's say wise mindfulness, right mindfulness, is a little bit more than just knowing what's happening in the present moment. Because often, as we just know what's happening in the present moment, Sayadaw has said, you know, if you just go out and ask anybody on the street, you see somebody doing something, maybe they're angry, and you go up and ask them, do you know that you're angry? They'll say, well, yeah, of course I know I'm angry. But that awareness, that self-reflective awareness, is not the kind of awareness that will lead to the release of the habits and patterns of mind that lead to that anger. In fact, probably what's going on in that mind is a justification for why they're angry, and the kind of reinforcing that pattern as being the way to get what they want in this situation. And so while they may have some self-reflective awareness about being angry, they're not curious about, well, what is the experience of being a human being that's angry? They're interested in getting what they want, following through on that mind state to get what they want. And so the Sayadaw has titled a book of his, Awareness Alone Is Not Enough. And I take that to mean, the way I understand that, is that it's not just the simple awareness of the self-reflective capacity. That's not enough to free the mind. It needs to be joined with a perspective of wisdom, of this curiosity about the experience as an experience. That sounds like nothing. Just to be curious about experience as experience. But it is huge. That is not our normal way of meeting our experience. And so in a simple way, that simple turning is kind of one way to describe the lens that the Buddha offered for wise mindfulness. That we begin to understand our human experience as human experience, as we turn to look at that person on the street, began to look at, well, what is the human experience of anger? One of the first things they'll start to notice is, wow, that hurts. And that's where wisdom begins, by recognizing these habitual patterns of greed, aversion, and delusion as being painful. And as I said earlier, you know, the mind naturally wants to move in the direction of releasing, of moving in the direction of ease and peace. And it is getting this information that, in this case, anger is suffering, that the mind begins to turn from its habit around how it works with suffering, how it works with anger, to maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's a different way to engage. And so a lot of our work here is going to be getting to know our habits and patterns of mind. So we start with relaxation. That creates the conditions for this very simple kind of self-reflective awareness to naturally come up. And then we turn towards this curiosity, bringing in this perspective of, what is this experience like? What is this human experience? And then we begin to get curious about the experience of awareness itself. Sayadaw often begins with emphasizing relaxation and then encourages us to check in. Are you aware? Do you know that you're aware? Right now, do you know that you're aware? It's a very ordinary kind of recognition in a way, and in some ways it's so familiar, so close to us, that we may not actually know how we know that we're aware. But we may know that we're aware. And that can be where it begins. That can be where this question of recognizing awareness begins. You may not know how you know you're aware, but you know that you know you're aware. That's okay. In fact, I encourage you not to try to figure out how you know that you're aware. It's more something that begins to kind of dawn on us as we recognize over and over again, this is the experience of awareness. Oh yeah, I'm aware. Aware. That's what it's like to be aware. It's like, I can't describe it, but we start to get familiar with it through the recognizing, yes, I'm aware. And so it begins to develop a more palpable sense, this experience of being aware. So the good thing about this kind of reflection of, well, am I aware? Is if you have thought to ask that question, if you've even thought about checking in, am I aware? Most of the time, you are aware. There are a few cases sometimes where you're kind of in a rote mode and just asking that question, am I aware, am I aware, am I aware, but not really aware of even asking the question. But if you are asking the question and aware that you're asking the question, basically you're aware. And so as one of my colleagues said, you get to answer yes every time you remember to ask the question. Given that, sometimes people wonder or question, well, what's the point then? Why even ask the question? And it helps to ask the question because it begins to help the mind to get curious about that experience of awareness itself. It's that beginning to kind of enter into the human experience of awareness. And if we just blew right by it, and the next question that we check in with is, well, what is awareness aware of? What's obvious in this moment? If we blow right by that question of, am I aware, what am I aware of, or what's obvious in this moment, then we're back to that kind of relying on the objects of experience to help us know or to cultivate that mindfulness, to help us know that we're aware. And this question of, am I aware, is really, you know, I think the Sayadaw pointing to that question really has helped me to begin to recognize this quality of awareness. Just knowing that you're aware. It begins to develop a real palpable quality, almost a felt sense of being aware that we get familiar with. And so we recognize, we check in, is awareness here? And then we check in, what's obvious? So this practice that Sayadaw Utejaniya offers is it's a more receptive quality, a non-directed practice. Some of you who haven't practiced in this style before perhaps are more familiar with directing the attention, choosing something to be mindful of, and letting the mindfulness kind of cultivate in that way. Picking the breath, for an instance, or maybe the experience of body sensations, and kind of aiming there to cultivate the quality of mindfulness. With this practice, we more connect with awareness and then settle back. It's almost like just, well, what is awareness aware of? We're not directing our attention to anything, but checking in, am I aware? And what is already here? What is the mind already aware of? In any moment, there will be something the mind is aware of without your needing to choose something, without your needing to consciously choose something for the mind to be aware of. We can think about this quality of attention This is the quality right now I'm talking about. It's different than awareness. Attention is that aspect of mind that kind of orients to something in awareness. And attention is this interesting quality of mind, kind of like the breath is a function that happens either consciously. We can choose to breathe. We can choose to say, I'm going to breathe in now. I'm going to breathe out now. Or we can let go and the breath will breathe itself. Attention is kind of like that, that we can consciously choose to direct the attention, to pick something to pay attention to. Maybe your breath, or maybe the sensation of your hands or your feet. But you can also kind of settle back and let go of consciously choosing. And attention will, the conditions around attention will choose something, will be picking something to be aware of. And so we can let go of that extra activity that often comes with meditation practice of picking something to be aware of, and just settle back. Am I aware? And what's obvious? So relaxation helps in this, supports this. So sometimes when we check in, you know, well, okay, I'm aware. I know I'm aware, but I have no idea. It's like, yeah, I know I'm seeing. I know there's body sensation, but it doesn't seem like, it almost seems like those things are not so much right in the forefront. And sometimes the mind gets a little bit, especially if it's not so familiar with this practice at first, it gets a little bit confused. It's like, I don't really know. It doesn't feel like it's seeing. I mean, I know I'm seeing, but it doesn't feel like seeing is really what's up, or it doesn't feel like that body sensation is really what's up. That's okay. If there's not a sense of kind of a sense of knowing exactly what the mindfulness is landing on, what the awareness is landing on, just know that you're aware. At some point, there'll be something really obvious. And there'll be that kind of that sense of contact of, oh yeah, I'm aware of that sound of that bird outside, or that body sensation right now is clearly where my attention is. Partly the sense that sometimes we don't know exactly where the attention is partly because attention can land on, can be interested in things that we are not so familiar with. So we know certain kinds of objects, experiences. We're familiar with body sensation, touch, sight, sound. But there's a whole host of other kinds of experience that are more vague, more diffuse, and more broad. And sometimes the attention is actually more interested in that. And those kind of experiences can take time to get familiar with. So if you don't know exactly what the mind is attending to, what the object is, what's obvious, the question I often offer there. Am I aware? What's obvious? If there's not a sense of there being a clear object of the attention at that point, just know that you're aware. Just stay with the awareness. That is really what we're cultivating, is that recognizing the awareness itself. And something will come. It won't take that long. And in that meantime, you can just hang out like, yes, I know that I'm aware. And that can be a little bit of a challenging place if you're not so familiar with it, because in that place of just being aware, you may need to remind yourself, okay, yep, I know that I'm aware. Aware. You may need to remind yourself a little bit. Because we're not so familiar with that kind of resting in that space of being aware, it's an easy place for the mind to wander. And it's okay if the mind wanders. You know, the mindfulness will return at some point. And you can continue, begin again. So the practice is just these are the key elements of the practice. Relax, recognize awareness, and notice what's obvious. Another key aspect is really a light touch of practice. Just not a heavy gripping to trying to stay mindful, but more of a sense of just a gentle moment to moment. Am I aware right now? And what's obvious? You know, a moment of mindfulness is not so hard. Just a moment. Are you aware of contact of your hands right now? Feet on the floor? Hips on the chair, a cushion or bench? Not so hard for a moment to just know, experience. It is more challenging for that to become established and to sustain the mindfulness. And yet, the kind of habit we might have of picking up an effort to try to sustain mindfulness for a stretch of time at the beginning of a sitting, picking up kind of like, I need to be aware for the whole sitting, so I'm going to try to be mindful. Like we almost try to pick up the entire 45 minutes of the sitting right at the beginning. And it doesn't work very well. But what we can do is to be aware of this moment and then do it again. And again, and again, just a light touch, very light touch of mindfulness, of effort connected with being aware, over and over and over again. And then the other piece is, this is where the practice begins to point back to how greed, aversion, and delusion kind of are deeply embedded in our minds, is that we check in from time to time, what's the relationship to this experience? What's the relationship not only to the experience, but what's the relationship to how I'm practicing? That relationship often can have flavors of greed, of wanting something to happen, wanting to hold on to something. Might be a flavor of aversion, of not liking something, wanting to get rid of something that's happening, wanting to change the experience in some way. Or it might be a confusion, a kind of a delusion of disconnection, or maybe it's just a belief, a view that something should be a certain way. And it's not so much about greed or aversion, but it's just a confused mind that's got a view. And so checking in, what's the relationship? Is there a relationship of wanting or aversion or a belief of you? There also could be a relationship of, it's okay. Things feel okay right now. No problem. Just okay. And so the checking in to how am I in relationship to the experience, it doesn't always reveal some kind of a reactive or challenging pattern in the mind. It can also point to just some simple curiosity or okayness, calm, ease, peace. And it's also useful, kind of like I was talking about with the precepts, you know, that as we enter into the place of not engaging in harmful activities, the space to recognize the wholesome qualities is there. And likewise, in checking this relationship to experience, there may be the opportunity to see, oh, curiosity is here. Kindness is here. Ease or peace is here. And so from time to time, it's helpful to kind of orient to how am I in relationship to experience and begin to get curious about that quality in the mind. If there's some kind of greed, aversion, or delusion that appears or shows up in that, we can just know that as a piece of the experience. There's nothing particularly we need to do. We don't have to try to get rid of it or fix it or change it, but we do need to explore, oh, that's a human experience. Oh, there's this experience happening and I don't like it. Okay, well, that's what's going on. That's the experience of a painful sensation and the mind not liking it. That's what it's like to be a human being in this body right now. So there's not a need necessarily to have to do something with what's revealed with the seeing of the attitude, but just to have that. It's almost like the mindfulness expands to include something that we hadn't quite seen before. In checking the relationship to experience, how am I with this experience? It may reveal something that had been kind of behind the scenes. And so it's like our mindfulness can expand to take that in as well. So in a nutshell, this is the practice that we'll be doing. Am I aware? Well, relaxing first. Am I aware? What's obvious? And checking. How am I in relationship to experience? It's a very simple practice. And yet that simplicity belies its challenge. It's not easy. And so we'll talk more about all of this over the coming days. And I'll review a lot of this in the morning. Also, so let's just sit for just a few minutes, let's say about 6 minutes or so. Just finding your posture. That feels both alert and yet relaxed. Alertness and relaxation don't have to be opposites. And in that posture, inclining towards relaxation, letting the body relax. Maybe particularly checking into the face as the face relaxes. That can have a big impact on the mind. And relaxing the face and muscles of the body. Sometimes I find after I've kind of relaxed the muscles of the body, sometimes I use a shortcut to relax a little more deeply inside the body. I'll just name some areas that maybe there can be some conscious relaxation. Maybe the inside of the throat can relax. Relaxing deeply inside the body is also a place where that relaxation can really feed back to the mind, relax the mind. Maybe the inside of the throat can relax. Maybe the heart can relax. Maybe the stomach, the intestines can relax. Maybe too the mind can relax. Sometimes Gil offers an analogy that I find useful for relaxing the mind, as if the brain were a muscle. Maybe the brain can relax. And relaxed, as much relaxation as you are connected with in this moment. Are you aware? Recognizing awareness. And what's obvious? Maybe settling back in the sense of receiving experience rather than looking for experience. Let experience come to you. Some way getting out of the way of the doing, of finding something to pay attention to. Your system will naturally notice something. And if it's not obvious what that is, just connect with being aware. Are you aware? And what experiences are coming to you? Coming into that awareness. Might be body sensations or sounds, emotions, moods, or thoughts. Relax. Are you aware? What is obvious? The attention will perhaps shift to another experience, or some new experience will come in. Just stay connected with awareness, receiving what wants to come into awareness.